to do this all over again. I know we're tired. I know it's early. I know it's Sunday. But good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to step aside for just a hot second because Mama B, where she, Mama B right there, she asked my wife yesterday, would she sing a song? And so she's going to come up here and sing. And so that's why I shook my head yes when you said you didn't know if she was singing or not, because she was already asked to sing on yesterday. And so I'm going to step aside for just a hot second. Amen.
Hey, KB.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give me volume on this?
How many sure. Oh,
yeah.
You playing anything or just are you doing private vocals?
We all going to sing.
We all going to sing.
Amen. We all going to sing. This is the choir. Amen.
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 Y'all come to participate.
Amen.
Like we're playing, everybody want to take home those little things you stick on top of the refrigerator for your parents to say, good job, right? Yeah, so that's what we're going to do this morning. So Mama B, I talked to her yesterday. She asked me what I sing, and I said, what do you want me to sing? She came back with Amazing Grace. I like that because normally people say, I don't know, but sing anything. So I love when she came back and gave me a song.
Amen.
So we're going to sing that song, Amazing Grace, which is...
What else, sir?
Yes, sir. It sure is. Thank you. And as y'all heard from the crowd, 107. We yelled it out, 107. So you all get to 107, but before we do that song, we're going to sing, Hey Mama. That's my mama, you guys.
Come all right.
Mama. Amen. I thank God for my mama. Amen. Amen. You all still have parents, love them. Amen.
Amen.
And pray for everybody. And I'm glad that you all came down here and made it down here safely, because I do not take it lightly. When you came 95-301, it's you're playing offense and defense. So I thank God for his angels protecting all of us that are here. So can we give God a round of applause again?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I come to clap my hands. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do y'all know that song? We're going to learn today. Who said yes, Obi? We're going to learn today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. So, this is how it goes. For the church that knows the song, can you all get involved this morning?
Amen.
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 Let's stand, as Kevin said. I think you sing better when you stand. Amen. Hallelujah. We in church, you all, so we're supposed to have fun. Amen.
Right. Right.
High five your neighbor. Say, I'm going to have fun this morning.
I'm going to have fun.
Amen. And you can watch me or you can participate. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, but this is how we're going to do it, okay? I don't know what you come to do.
I don't know what you come to do.
Now that y'all got that, thank you back there clapping y'all hands. All right? All right? This is called practice. Amen? So let's start over. I don't know what you come to do.
I don't know what you come to do.
You and you and you and you.
You and you and you and you.
I come to clap my hands. I come to clap my hands. How much you love, you all love God?
Yes.
You all really love God?
Yes.
Don't be ashamed of how you sing out to God. There are no wrong notes. Amen.
Amen.
This is just practice. Tell your neighbor, we're just practicing.
We're just practicing.
So sing out.
Amen.
Amen. So sing from your belly, because I'm not listening to what you're doing. I'm over here focusing on what I'm doing.
Amen.
Amen. Is everybody at 107?
Yes.
Is everybody ready?
Yes.
I don't see everybody's lips moving. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Are you doing the standard version? You want the piano player, or do you just want acapella?
Well, let's ask the choir.
Let's ask the choir.
She said acapella.
Okay.
You said acapella?
Acapulco.
Okay, thank you. We're going to do Acapulco.
Okay.
Acapulco. Is everybody ready?
Amen.
Now remember, I said there are no wrong notes. We're just going to do 1, 2, and then we're going to do 5. That's it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's give God some praise. Let's clap our hands.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We might add verse 6. I'll tell you when we get there. Start singing. No, there's going to be a verse 6.
All right. I like stuff. Okay. Here we go. Everybody ready? Y'all clear your throat. Y'all ready? Here we go.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Simply praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Practicing is because we need to get into a posture of praise as it relates to where we're going. Amen.
Amen.
When we get before the Father, the Bible tells us we'll be praising God all day long. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's why she says we're in practice today. And so we thank God for that. And so with that being the case, If you have Bibles with you, and if you don't, write it down so you can go back later on to look at it. We're going to find ourselves in Romans chapter 5 this morning, Romans chapter 5. I got to be quite honest with you all, I am tossed. I really am. I mean, all morning long, all week long, I've been tossed about what it was that I was going to present here. And the only reason I say tossed is because I have a thousand things running through my mind. Amen. I have all these different messages that are in my mind, and I keep asking God, you know, how do you want me to approach this morning? What is it that you want me to share with your people? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that the Word of God meets us at our very needs. Amen?
Amen.
And we want to grow from God's Word. We don't want to go to church and just say we were in service. No, we want to be able to take from what it is that is being given to us, that we might be nourished in our spirits, praise God. That when we leave from these places, we leave from our worship a different person than what we've come, praise God. We want to be able to go out of here and take what it is that we have received this morning. We want to not only, again, digest it, but we want to put ourselves in a position to where we're victorious and successful. Because that's what God has done for all of us, amen. Through Christ dying on the cross for each and every one of us, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, but all things are new. And I said this last time I was here, all things now are of God, meaning derived from Him. And so the life that we're living now, we should be living a life that's derived from God, not the life that we once lived before we came to know Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Praise God.
Amen.
Everybody in agreement with that? Amen. That our character should be different, that our conversation should be different, that our outlook on life should be different,
yes.
That just who we are, we ought to be different every day. Now, it's a struggle, praise God. Let's make no bones about that. Let's just be honest. It's a struggle after having been the person we've been all our lives, then come to know Christ Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and then there's a change. There's a dynamic to who you and I are supposed to be and how we're supposed to live our lives each and every day. And sometimes that becomes difficult. Praise God. But let's look at Romans chapter 5. I think we have something else that says, amen. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to find ourselves in verse 1 through 6. Now, let me be honest with you all this morning. This was not my original message. Praise God. Again, I was tossed about how I was going to approach this morning and the things that I was going to discuss with you all, because again, I want to make sure that what I give you from God and not from Todd. Amen.
Amen.
Todd is my, for y'all who don't know me, Todd is my middle name. That's what I go by. But I want to make sure y'all are hearing from God and not from Todd. Is everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Praise God. So let's go before the throne of grace. I'm going to pray. We're going to jump into this word. I'm not going to keep you long. And then we're going to go out here and enjoy the rest of our day. But as we enjoy the rest of our day, let's take the word of God with us that we might again be an example, be the evidence of that we can go out of here and be the witness for who Christ Jesus is in our lives. Because you're going to be the Bible that some people will only read. Amen? Some people will never read the Bible for themselves, but you'll be the version in which they read. When they see your life and what God's doing in you and how bright you're shining for Christ Jesus, they'll be able to know that Jesus is Lord because of the work in which He's doing in and through you. And so let's go before the throne of grace, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for assembling us here this day, that we may hear your word, Lord, that we may enter into praise, God, together as one voice, one heart, Lord, one spirit, Lord, praising and worshiping you and thanking you for the mighty great deeds that you've done in our lives. Some of us take it for granted, God, that we have awakened this day, Lord, but if you had removed your breath out of the earth, Lord. The Bible reminds us over in Job 32 that we will all return back to the dust from which we've come from. But because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of Christ who died on the cross for each and every one of us, we're still here today. With that being the case, some people may not have made it last night, God. Someone lost a loved one, God. Whatever the reason that may be, Lord, we pray right now for the healing of their hearts, Heavenly Father, for their comfort. For those, Heavenly Father, that are going through something this morning, we pray right now as my brother Kevin prayed earlier, Lord, that these needs will be met through you by faith, Lord. We know that you're able, and therefore we trust and believe you are God, and you will work our situations out. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's say it one more time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That means you agree with everything that I said in that prayer. So let's jump into this word this morning. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 5, again, 1 through 6. Let's go there. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because of the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? Yeah. And I'm going to focus on two things. The first verse, and I'm going to focus on verse 6 for just a hot second. But in verse 6, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go back to something I said earlier this week for those who are with us on the morning crew for you all who are first time with us, a bunch of great men and women, praise God, from different churches who get together every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on Facebook Live, amen, and we talk about the Word of God every Monday through Friday. And so many of them are here with us today, and I thank you all for hanging out with us, and for all those who've come that are on weekend here at the campgrounds, or if you're on vacation for a couple of days more than that, and I thank you all for taking time out of your schedule to hang out with us. But I'm going to say something and point something out in verse 6 that's key to what we've been talking about all this past week. All this past week, we've been focused on Proverbs chapter 29. And one of the areas that we focused in on was verse 7. And in verse 7, it says, "For the righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand this knowledge." Amen. This knowledge. And 29 talks about wisdom. Amen. And there's a lot of things that we can talk about in there. One of my favorite verses in 29 is verse 18, when it says, "For where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." Amen. And so God's book is a book of what? Laws. God's book is a book of what?
Laws.
God's book is a book of what?
Laws.
And so he says, happy is he who keeps the law. But those who don't have the law, they cast off restraint, which means basically you get from them whatever you get from them based upon where they are in their life at that present moment that you encounter them. You'll get from them what it is that's in their heart or in their life or what's happening with them at that moment. When people are not receiving, or when God is not being revealed to people, when he's not being disclosed to people, you get from them in that moment whatever it is that's happening or going on in their life. Amen. But as the children of God, we're not supposed to be like that. Amen. As the children of God, you and I, we're supposed to be on 100 with Christ Jesus all the time. We're supposed to live out this new creation in the Lord. What? All the time. We're supposed to be on our best. We're supposed to be the witnesses. We're supposed to be the evidence. We're supposed to be the very ones that are shining brightly in dark times, that when people are going through in their lives, they can look at you and know that God is real because of what he has done in what? Our lives. Praise God. But the thing I want to bring to our attention again in verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength," when we didn't have the ability to refrain from doing wrong, when we didn't have the know-how, the whereabouts, the thought process, when we didn't have the energy, the strength to stop from doing wrong and being the people that we once were, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. And so if you think about this for a second, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. Now, oftentimes enough, when we look at this thing right here, the word poor, P-O-O-R, we look at it from the perspective of people's economical status. But when you look at the word poor, it is the dynamic. It explains everything about who you are as an individual. Because you can be rich financially, but poor spiritually. Praise God. You can be rich in thought, but poor in health. There's just so many areas that we can go into when we talk about poverty as it relates to our individual lives that far exceed beyond riches, amen, or the material possessions that you have. And so when we look at the poor, we look at the poor from the perspective of what's happening or the deficiencies in someone's life. And so it says this, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. Well, when you and I were poor without strength, amen, we were lacking, deficient in the ability to refrain from doing the things that caused us to be separate from God. Christ did what? Die from the ungodly. For the ungodly. Am I making sense to you all this morning? Amen. Am I speaking too fast? Y'all with me this morning? Christ died for those who were without strength, which was encompassing of all of us. None of us are good. Amen. Not nay one of us. I know that's not right and proper grammar, but I'm going to say it again. Not nay one of us are what? Good. And without Christ, we find ourselves in a constant struggle. And even with Christ, every day we find ourselves doing what? Struggling. But because of this, Christ didn't wait till we got better. And that's one of the things I find interesting about people. A lot of times, we'll say, well, when I get myself right, then I'll come to God. Well, if you could get yourself right, there was no need for who? God. And so Jesus is not waiting for you and I to get right. Jesus just wants us to come to him as we what? Are. And with that, Christ will help us get what? Better and not what? Bitter. Christ will help you and I walk away from the bitter, that you and I become the what? Better. Now, I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have been or is or will know someday sooner or later we'll end up becoming what? Bitter. All of us get bitter over things, don't we? But God wants us to be what? Better. I'm going to need y'all to work with me this morning. Praise God. I'm going to need y'all to talk this morning. Listen, you're not in this fight by yourself. We're all in this fight together. But I need all of us to understand that, listen, until we bring those confessions to the Lord, who's just to forgive us, we won't get to the place where God will have us to be until we open our minds and just acknowledge where we are. I can tell you right now, as a pastor, I got a lot of work that needs to be done on me.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm always looking for an HGTV moment in my life. Because Jesus is a carpenter. Amen. Praise God. I need him to always do what? Fix me what? Up. Because I'm always tearing something down in my life. And I'm always needing Christ, who's a carpenter, who's the author and the finisher of life and faith, to help me rebuild and become better so that I don't get what? Bitter. And so as we look at this, something that happens in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5 that struck me this morning in my heart as I was reading, just asking God, I said, you know, God, now, don't take this wrong what I'm about to say. I said, you know, God, I have all this stuff going on in my mind that's unfair because I don't know which direction to go with it, because I want to make sure that I get, I can tell y'all right now, I could teach all day long when it comes to the Word of God because of all that God puts in my heart and my mind. It's just constantly flowing. Sometimes I had a conversation with a friend. I said, man, if I could just put you in my mind just to see what's going on right now, you would be completely lost because it just constantly is flowing in and out of me. But this morning, as I was sitting and reading, it says, therefore, having been justified. You know, when you're justified, you're made right. Doesn't mean you are right, but you have been made what? Right. None of us are righteous in and of ourselves. The Bible declares that our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Let's talk about that again. Your righteousness, my righteousness, our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. So in and of ourselves, none of us are any good. Matter of fact, how many of y'all enjoy taking filthy rags around with you in your life? I don't. Who keeps filthy rags in their pockets all day long? I don't. Once we use them, we do what?
Discard.
Yeah, we discard them. How would you like if God discarded us? Because of our behaviors. Because of our conversations. Because of our attitudes. Because of our thoughts. Because of the way we discount or we disregard one another. How many of us would like for God to discard us when he doesn't do that? Amen.
Amen.
Because we've been justified through who? Christ. Now this is important. And I want you to follow with me real quickly. Therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. If you believe in God, how many of y'all here believe in Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? No, really, seriously. How many of y'all believe in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, knowing that he died on the cross for you, that he was buried for 3 days, resurrected on the 3rd day, and now we are free. We don't owe a debt to sin that we cannot afford to pay. And for those reasons, we have been justified by Christ. In other words, we've been made right with God, because prior to that, we were all enemies of God, whether you like it or not. Because if God looks at our behavior, God looks at us directly as a means by which to judge you without Christ's blood being on the mercy seat, we all would be dead. Matter of fact, let's put it this way. How many of y'all had a bad day yesterday? Things just went totally off the wire for you yesterday. Someone made you mad yesterday. Did somebody make somebody here? Let's just be honest. Did somebody make you mad in here yesterday? Not in here, but at home, in the streets, the grocery stores.
The traffic.
It makes us what? Mad. How many of us got things that gets on our everlasting last nerve? Huh? How many of us have thoughts in our minds, there's some people we just wish would what? Go away. So as we think about these things and these thoughts that are not the thoughts of God, these things will ordinarily put us at war with God. But because of Christ's blood shed on the mercy seat, we are now justified and are in a right relationship with God. And so this is important because when you look at this scripture right here, it says, therefore, as a result of Christ being raised, if you look in verse 25 of chapter 4 of Romans, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, that cause right there, that cause of Christ being raised up and for our justification, we are now made right with God. Therefore, it says this, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with who? Come on, y'all, I need you to work with me. We have peace with who?
God.
So why do we always walk around talking about, I don't know why God is angry with me? Because God is not angry with you. Why am I going? A lot of things that we go through, we attribute to God that has absolutely nothing to do with Him and the things that are going on in our lives. And we always say, God is punishing me. God is angry with me. God is frustrated with me. God does not love me. God is not caring about me. No, if you're saved and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, you've been justified and you have peace with who? God. Now, let's look at consequences and repercussions for our actions, our decisions, and our choices. That's something different.
Amen.
Because there's a law. God's book is a book of what?
Laws.
God's book is a book of what?
Laws.
And love.
And love. But it is a book of what?
Laws.
And there are laws that are in the earth that if you violate those laws, there are certain things that just happen. And so Galatians chapter 6 tells us in verse 7, for God is not mocked. Whatever, it says man, but man is genderless in this particular aspect of the verse, because it pertains to all of you, what? Humanity. And so God is not mocked. Whatever a man, woman, child sows, so shall they what? Reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will what? Reap of the flesh. If you sow the spirit, you shall what? Reap of the spirit. But he says something very interesting. And I'll give you this part too, because I don't want to leave this part out. He says, but therefore do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you don't lose what?
Heart.
That wasn't the part I wanted to add in, but I just wanted to get this part right here. And so a lot of things that we're going through in our lives is as a result of some of the things that we've sown. It has nothing to do with God's love for us. It's just that God doesn't go against His what?
Word.
And so I want to encourage you this morning. I really do. I want to encourage you this morning because I want us to stop saying that God is mad with us. Because if God was really mad with us and the wrath of God, none of us would be able to stand. But because of the love of God through Christ Jesus, which His blood again was shed on the mercy seat for each and every one of us, we are still what? Healed. Even after last night. We may have given somebody a tongue lash. Thought ill will. Walked out on somebody. Ignored the ability to help somebody. For all those good things, which is going to take me now back over into Proverbs 29:7. For the righteous considers the cause of the poor. Do you know why the righteous considers the cause of the poor? It's something that the Lord told me this morning as I was looking at this, and over the last few days as I was studying this, a couple things that came in my mind. And I'm going to cover one of the two things that we talked about this week, but I want you to consider the cause of the poor, the effect, the thing that brought that person to that condition. What was it that put that person in a poor condition? Whether it was health. Some things we can't help. Some things we inherit. Some things just happen. Nothing we can do about that. But there's some things that we contribute to our what?
Health.
Sometimes financially we're born in a family that's just economically in bad straits, and we kind of take on that life sometimes. Other people rise above those occasions. But there are other times that we're doing fine in our life, and then we all of a sudden find ourselves in an impoverished position economically because we've made some bad what?
Choices.
Sometimes our thinking is poor.
Why? Because we've given ourselves over to someone else's philosophy, someone else's belief system, something that we may have been taught that's not actually true or correct, and therefore we have bought into that situation, and because now our outlook has been maligned by somebody else's experiences, somebody else's feelings, somebody else's emotions, somebody else's way of life, now we're off track because we bought into what it is that they have taught or have given us, and therefore our outlook is also what? Poor. Matter of fact, one of my elders yesterday, one of my ministers in my church, he and I were talking on the phone, and he says, you know, Pastor, one of the things I've been looking at in the Bible, when the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so it's very interesting that your thought process will lead to your impoverished way of being in life. But the reason why the righteous considers the cause of the poor is a couple of reasons. Number one, here's number one. Because a righteous person is in the right relationship with who? God. And so they want to know how to enter into this relationship with you so that one of two things are happening. Either they are helping you, or they are hindering you. You know how sometimes we become what? Enablers. And so we consider the cause of the individual, why they're in the condition that they're in. And as a result of it, when we enter into that relationship with them, we want to make sure that we are not enablers, but we are enabling them to do what? Come out. We want to be a help, not a what? Hindering. Because when Christ considered we were without strength, he didn't go in and continue to help us in that capacity. He did what was necessary for you and I to do what? Come out. And so the righteous considers the cause for one reason, because they want to make sure they enter the relationship with you right to help you in your condition, or you help them in their condition. Amen? You think about how they got here. You don't want to continue just to give to them and aid in the behavior that led them to that place. You want to be a bishop. Matter of fact, somebody says, we always talk about this thing. Don't give a person a fish. Teach them what? How to fish. But how about we go one step further? Won't we help them buy the pond? So they can fish anytime they what?
Want.
And I know some of y'all have heard that already, but instead of just helping a person fish, put a person in a position they can now do what? Buy the what? Pond. And fish as much as they what? Want. Because if you truly do fish, there are only certain times you can do fishing on someone else's property. Are y'all with me this morning? The second reason they consider the cause is because they want to make sure that they don't get into the thing that brought you where you are in their lives. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the relationship, we don't see ourselves sinking in the ship with the person. Because we think we can help them out. So now we're in need of someone to throw us a life preserver. Because we didn't take precautions in entering in that relationship. Here's the third reason. The third reason is because you don't want to be judgmental. Because when you're judgmental, it begins to expose your impoverties as well. Because when we start looking down on other folks, that shows that we have poor what? Judgment. Because poverty comes in many different what? Forms. And so the reason why we consider what's going on is because we don't want to misjudge a person. Just because we see people down, or just because we see their conditions, don't mean that person started out that way, and doesn't mean that person can't rise above that.
Amen.
You might be the answer to their what? Need.
Amen. Yeah.
And just one simple word to switch the direction in which that person is going in their life may be the very thing that helped them get to that next level. And if you help them get where they need to be, they'll help somebody else get where they what? Need to be. So we need to be careful about how it is when we consider the cause of those who are what? Poor. The effects of what brought them to that place. Now I'm going to jump back over to Romans chapter 5. Because there's some important things here, and then we're going to get out of here in just a few minutes. Everybody with me this morning?
Yes,
sir. Are y'all okay this morning?
Yes.
Are you tracking with me this morning?
Yes.
Am I giving you something to hold on to for this morning?
Amen.
Because I can venture to tell you, one or two of us are going to walk out of here this morning, and we're going to jump right back into an impoverished position ourselves, because we're going to see something that's going to get on our nerves. that's going to irk us, and we're going to make a poor what? That's how easy it is in this dirty, nasty flesh of ours that we have to be mindful of as we deal with people on a daily basis. Because God knows, I don't want God to deal with me as I have dealt with who? Others.
Amen.
Y'all ready?
Amen.
Okay, so by faith, we have this peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith, oh my gosh, into this grace in which we what? Stand. Grace is God's what? Unmerited favor. It's nothing you can do to earn this. But by faith, you enter into God's grace, His favor, which means that God will move on our what? Behalf. Whatever your needs are. So when my brother Kevin said, well, what are your unspoken requests or what are your requests this morning? We do that because we're expecting God's grace to open doors and move on our what? Behalf. What's important about that? Let's back up some scriptures into chapter 4. And this is why I say to you all, there's 1,000 things running through my mind. I promise I won't give them all to y'all this morning. But let's back up into verse 20 of Romans chapter 4. Let's back up for a second. Because we have access into this what? Grace. This is important for all of us. You have access to God's what? Grace. By faith, you have access to God's what?
Grace.
And so, if we have access to this grace, then that simply means that whatever you have need of, God is able to bring that situation to pass and meet you at your what? Come on, you all. I need y'all to think with me this morning. Because as you are thinking in your heart, so are you. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So I need you to think differently about your life. I need you to think differently about your economics. I need you to think differently about your health. I need you to think differently about your outlook. I need you to think different about your business. I need you to think different about your promotion. I need you to think different about your retirement. I need you to just think what? Different.
Amen.
Don't let what you hear determine how you what? Live. Because you have access to God's what? Grace.
Amen.
So everything that's going on in the world today, no, we're not going to be ignorant to it. No, we're not going to be blind to it. No, we're not going to refuse to acknowledge it. But we're not going to let it determine who we are because we have access to God's what?
Grace.
It's important. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
You praise Him? Amen. Praise God.
Yes. Amen.
So look at 20 in Romans chapter 4. And all this is really, this whole thing is really about Abraham. This whole thing is really about Abraham. Father Abraham, the father of many nations, the one whose wife was what? Barren. God made him a promise. To give him a what? Seed that he may have an heir to his inheritance. That was super important. Culturally, that was super important. That a man would have an heir to his inheritance. And Abraham did not have that. I think he had Eliezer of Damascus, who was not of his own blood. And so therefore, having these conversations with God, this is back in Genesis, having these conversations with God, Abraham asked a very bold question. What is it, Lord? Seeing that I have not an heir that you will give me. What can you give me? Because nothing is more important than me having a what?
Heir.
That was culturally for them back then. But there's some things that are important to you today that has nothing to do with you having an heir. But you need to know what is it that God will give you as it pertains to your life right now. Because you have access to this what?
Grace.
But why is it so important? Because in verse 20, and y'all who are on Facebook this morning, some of y'all responded to it. I saw it this morning. He says something in verse 20 that's important. Let's back up for just a second. Let me see where I want to start this thing at. All right, let's just do 20 because we're going to be going on and y'all going to say, Pastor, it's time to get out of here. So let's just do 20. 20 says this. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully, being fully convinced. interesting? He was fully what? Convinced that God was able to deliver on his what? Promise. So what was God's promise? That he would have what? An heir. Matter of fact, I do have to, let's run down real quickly. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was also imputed to him. But also for us. This was written also for who?
Us.
It was written also for who?
Us.
It was written also for who?
Us.
Watch this. It shall be imputed to the us who believe in him who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, for that reason right there. Therefore, for that reason right there. Therefore, for that reason right there. You got peace with God and you got access to his what? Grace. Now, if we did back up, I do got to back up this part for a second. I got to heed this part right here. I really do. I got to back up, y'all. Now, it says this in verse 17. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the what? Come on, y'all. He gives life to the what?
Dead.
He gives life to the what?
Dead.
He gives life to the what?
Dead.
All right, let's look at this. I'm coming home. And cause those things which do not exist as though they what? So things that don't exist, things that are dead, God has the power to bring them to life and make them manifest before you, even though you don't see them or know them to be what? Real. This is why we jump into Hebrews chapter 11. This is why I told y'all, because my mind just be flowing 100 miles an hour. This is how we jump into Hebrews chapter 11 and 1. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The significance of all of that is the word substance. Substance is an unspecified material. Therefore, whatever faith needs to become in your life, it be what? Comes.
Amen.
It's unspecified. Whatever your need is, it meets you at your need when you have faith in who? God. But God says he can't be pleased if you don't have what? Faith. That's in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently what? Seek him. And so if we seek God diligently, he will reward you with whatever it is that your faith is seeking him out what? For. Because we have what? Access to his what? Grace. If we back up further into Romans chapter 4, we'll see that it talks about Abraham, even though he was 100 years old and Sarah's womb was dead, he did not consider his age in what God said he would do. Naturally, biologically, both of them people were done. Biologically, both of them were what?
Done.
Abraham was no more the man he once was at 40. And neither was Sarah the woman she was at 30.
Amen.
The Bible says her womb was what?
Dead.
In fact, over in, man, I have to stop y'all because my mind is going, I'm going 100 miles an hour. In fact, in Genesis, I think it's in chapter 19, when God visits Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, at a certain time, I'll be back to you to bring forth that promise. And Sarah, the Bible says, Sarah laughed. God didn't hear the laugh. God knew she laughed. He says, why does Sarah laugh? Sarah lied. She said, I ain't laughing. He said, yes, she did. He says this one thing, and I want you to hold on to this thing right here. I love this part right here. He says, is there anything? Is there what? Anything. Come on, y'all. I need you to work with me this morning. Is there what?
Anything.
Too hard for who?
God.
Come on now. Is there what?
Anything.
Too hard for who?
God.
Is there anything too hard for God? Her womb was dead. She laughed when God says, I'm going to give you a baby.
Amen.
And God didn't give it to her right then. He waited even longer. He wanted to make sure that this thing was not able to produce nothing. To show his power. But the Bible says Abraham was fully committed. You couldn't change his mind. God said to Abraham, believe that thing.
Amen.
And that's where I need all of us to get to today as I close. I need all of us to get to this place in our lives that we are what? Fully convinced. Not wavering. I need all of us to be what? Fully convinced. He can bring back your marriage. He can restore your finances. The dream that you lost, God can make that thing alive. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, God can heal you right now in that area and bring that situation whole that is no longer a problem in our lives. But you have to be fully convinced. But you know what I love about God? In Mark, when the man's son was possessed, being tossed to and fro in the water and fire, the demon trying to destroy him, couldn't get his son healed. The disciples couldn't do anything for him. Jesus says, what is this? He says, I brought my son to your disciples and they could not heal him. Jesus came out of his mouth and he says, oh, you faithless generation. He says, bring him to me. Then he asked the father a question, and I close here. He says, what's wrong with your son? Jesus knew. He confessed it. Jesus says, do you believe? The father said, yeah, but help my what?
Unbelief.
He was struggling. He was in a situation that just was hopeless. His son had been in this condition forever. I believe you, God, but help me. Help my, I don't know what to do with this. Help my, I'm wavering, I'm suffering. I'm dying in this state that I'm in, God. I have nothing left to give. Jesus says, bring him here, give it to me. He says, come on. Just that simple. Jesus says, come on. Just that simple. And it says, he caused that boy to convulge one more time, and that spirit left him. And that young man was made whole. Now I can give you all a thousand things. I can tell you 70 to 80 to 90% of the miracles happened in the Bible was not because of Jesus just doing a miracle. It was because of the people's faith. It's because of the people's faith. And if you read your word enough, you'll find out that the people who didn't know God personally, that were the Jews, Jesus was always saying, I've never seen such faith in all of Judea, all of Jerusalem. It was the people on the outside believing God, not the people walking with him. I got to stop right here, y'all. My mind's going to go some other place. Listen, this morning, I want you to be encouraged. I do. Because God wants us to be fully what? Convinced. And is there anything too hard for God? And the answer is no. It's just up to you. Up to you. We build that relationship with God. I promise you. Trust and hold on to his hand. God will bring it to pass. But it's got to be by your what?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Amen. Now, I wish I could come back and tell y'all again, but this is it for me for the last time of the summer, so I can't give you the rest of this unless you get on what? Facebook Live on Monday through Friday. We're on Facebook Live. We're going to talk about this more on tomorrow morning on Facebook Live. Tomorrow, my morning crew already knows what it's like. I get on a subject on Sunday and I ride that entire subject all week long because we exhaust every little bit of it. We look at every facet of the word, the principle of God. God's word is principle and law. Yes, love. Principle and law. And I want you to be able to extract the principle of God's word out of what he's teaching, so that it will apply to your life and to the lives of the people that you love, of God, the lives of the people that you come in contact with. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Here you go, sir. Amen. So praise God. So we're gonna do an altar call right now. For anybody who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, for anyone who's in a backslidden state, for anybody who just need prayer. I got some praying people up in this place that will pray with you. So let's just do this real quickly, because people sometimes they feel uncomfortable with everybody looking at us. So we can just bow our heads, close our eyes. If there's somebody here this morning who wants prayer or want to rededicate their life for the first time, rededicate their life because of the state that they've been in, or want to give your life for the first time, just raise your hand while everybody's head is bowed, eyes closed if you don't mind. Raise your hand if you're looking to rededicate your life and give your life for the first time. Okay, you want to rededicate your life, praise God. We'll do that, young man. Put your hand down. Anybody else? All is well. Okay, praise God. Can I call your name out?
Timmy.
All right. Yeah, I know who he is. I just want to go on the spot real quickly. So, Timmy, you want to come on up here, man, if you want to rededicate your life, man. Praise God. Somebody come up here and stand with Timmy with me. Anybody, come stand with me with Timmy. He's rededicating his life to the Lord this morning. Amen. We don't want to take this lightly. We don't. Amen. Thank you, Mama B. All right, Timmy, I just need you to repeat after me a couple words, and then I'm going to pray for you, okay? There's got some people here that's touching that really love you, man. Definitely, I love you, Timmy. I've been knowing you for a little while now. I've been blessed to be down here a couple summers and become friends, and I look forward to seeing you. But then repeat after me. Say, Father.
Father.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I come to you as I am.
I come to you as I am.
Rededicated my life.
Rededicated to my life.
I ask you, God, to enter into my heart.
To enter into my heart.
And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
Of all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
And I thank you this day.
Yeah, I thank you for this day.
And I believe you.
And I believe you.
That you will do.
That you will do.
What it is.
What it is.
That I've asked of you.
That I've asked of you.
And that's the entrance to my heart.
And that's the entrance of my heart.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Let's pray. Amen. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that Timothy came up here this day, God, that he may, Heavenly Father, rededicate his life to you. I ask right now with all those who are surrounding him, Heavenly Father, that they will, Heavenly Father, keep him lifted up in their prayers. But that, Heavenly Father, they will continue to surround him with others, Lord, that genuinely love him and are as invested in him as, Heavenly Father, he's trying to invest in himself this day. They will share the good news, God, and keep him on that path, Lord, as we, Heavenly Father, continue to serve you each and every day. Lord, meet him at his very needs. You know what they are. He and his family and friends. Let him be, Heavenly Father, that light that shines bright in this world today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, everybody. Let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Amen. Young man.
Thank you, sir.